The following podcast is sponsored by SuperheroStuff.com.
Coffee mugs in hand, here we go again. Welcome everyone to this episode of H2O. My name is Jason Hunt, and sitting across from me is Mr. Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
Who is actually back in the bunker this week.
Yes, I am.
How you feeling?
I'm a little sinusy today.
Sounds like it. Yeah. But that's okay.
Well, you know, it tests the season, all right? Oh. It's been a fairly mild, sinus season for me.
Yeah. But,
not so much today. It all waited. It's like walking down the street, turned into a dark alley, was mugged by my sinuses.
Yep. That'll do that. Now, speaking of seasons.
Yes.
Fall season is just around the corner.
Like, literally, just around the corner. Like, you know. At the other end of the alley that I'm walking down, getting mugged by my sinuses. There's the fall season.
Yeah, well, you know.
Ready to pick me up and dust me off and send me on my way.
Well, in the fall TV season has pretty much, well, I guess you could say it's already started, because Fear the Walking Dead's up.
Right.
And running.
Well, it's halfway through its 6-episode run.
Yeah. So. And then Doctor Who starts Saturday. This week. Let's see, what else? Vixen is already out.
I watched the first 3 episodes of Vixen.
You know, I've been looking at it, and I need to catch up on writing the recaps for it. The first episode just completely turned me off, because it's that one thing that I hate. It's right in the middle of the action. Action, 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 action.
Previously, right.
Three days ago.
Like, right, wow, I know.
Are you kidding me? And then episode 2, the second one, has a flashback to her childhood.
Yeah.
So it's basically a flashback inside a flashback.
Right, yes.
Which just compounds the problem.
It's
for
flashbacks
me.
All the way down.
And I'm like, really?
I'm actually, I've enjoyed it. I think it's an interesting place that they're going, because I also think they're doing some interesting stuff with the characters there, because I think they're not, I don't know, it Young Justice. It reminds me of Young Justice. Mm-hmm. It's very much got a Young Justice vibe.
The animation does have that vibe, yeah.
And it's the storytelling, kind of storytelling too.
So. Although the interior of the Star Labs doesn't look a thing like Star Labs.
Well, I also thought that it was interesting that when the mom goes to get her the necklace, she opens a kitchen cabinet, which is completely empty.
Yeah.
Except, I'm just like, wow, really? Yeah. You guys completely forgot to to draw a picture of something else in this cabinet? I've been in a kitchen before. There are no empty cabinets. Nobody does that.
No.
But other than I've enjoyed it. I think it's an interesting... I think it's an interesting take on the character, and I'm looking forward to see where they go with it. Considering that that's the only superhero thing we've got on the air right now.
Right, but that's going to change fairly quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got Gotham coming back September 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Heroes Reborn September 24th. Marvel, there's a new animated Guardians of the Galaxy that starts September 26th. Once Upon a Time, I don't know if you'd count that as superhero stuff, but...
It's fantasy.
Yeah. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. September 29th. And that's all September. And then October, of course, you get The Flash, you get Arrow, you've got Star Wars Rebels, Supergirl. Supergirl's going to kill Gotham.
Oh yeah,
I've seen the first 2 episodes of the new season of Gotham. Chris Jensen is going to be writing recaps for us, because he's on our Rogues Gallery podcast, and
sure,
I figured synergy there, right? And I watched the first 2 just so I can have an idea of check his notes and do, because it's a new thing for him.
Sure,
want him to be comfortable in his work. And I'm watching these 2 episodes, and they're not bad.
Mm.
It's fully the season 2 is fully embracing the crazy,
like that. The
last episode of the first season did.
We'll see if I can bring myself to care.
And I'm watching it, and I don't care. I really don't. I'm looking at him. Yeah, Supergirl's gonna kill Gotham when it comes on.
Supergirl pilot was so good.
Yeah, Gotham's not gonna last another season.
Oh, I can't. I would.
Not unless they move it. If they move it, it might go into season three on life support. But if it stays there, you know, head to head to Supergirl, yeah, it's dead.
I just don't know how they can. I don't know how they can maintain another season of this show. I don't know how they're going to maintain the season they've got. And I realize Gotham fans, I'm sorry. I wish I could say I liked the show. There's some good performances in there, but it's not enough to, to get me to care anymore. I lost that show. That show.
I still want to see Sean Pertwee play the Third Doctor.
Oh, see, I think considering how some of the photos we've seen of Capaldi in the red jacket from later in the season, I think that, and considering how much of a fan he is, I would be real surprised if at some point he has not looked at Stephen Moffat and went, you know, if you put him in a wig.
Do you see?
I love that.
Do you see Cartmell is going to be at Time Eddie in Wichita?
Yes. Yes, I saw that. The con I can't be at, which I really get. I'm from Wichita. I got it's a Doctor Who convention in Wichita. It's full of great, neat things, and Andrew Cartmell's going to be there, and I can't go.
Maybe we can set up an interview ahead of time.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, because that's you know, bridging the gap.
Oh yeah, well, and to get a chance, and I'm sure he's sick to death of talking about it, but I would love for someone to sit down and have him talk about the Cartmell Master Plan and how much, what certainly played out in the book line, and the big revelation of who the Doctor turned out to be in the novel line, which I will not go into because it's a long, complicated story, but suffice it to say, it was a very cool explanation for what made the Doctor. How much that actually played out really from his notes and where he would have gone with it. That would have been a very interesting conversation to have.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you kind of get the feeling that it's like when I was a teenager and I was in early teens, like 13, 14, I was in an elevator with Gene Roddenberry.
Were you really?
I was. He was at a convention in Wichita. And I asked him what the rest of the Tholian's body looked like because we only ever saw the head. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and said, young man. That was very long ago. I don't remember. I don't think we ever had a body in mind. I don't recall. And I was kind of like, oh, well, yeah. Because it's fresh and new and exciting to you, but the people who actually... Sure. It's like when we make a film and you stare at it, and you stare at it, and weeks go by and months go by, and sometimes it can take a really long time to get it done.
Yep.
And you're so... On one level, you're sick to death of it. And you've lost perspective because, you know, somebody else, you've lost that sense of what made it special that you need to take a step away from to watch it later. But other people with fresh eyes are like, that's really cool. And you're like, is it? Good. I'm glad it is. I can't tell anymore.
Speaking of Roddenberry and Star Trek, did you see this story? You know, the Smithsonian is in the process right now of restoring the Enterprise model that they have.
I believe I'd heard something about that, yeah.
They are asking fans for help in this restoration project. What they want to do is they want to get photos of the ship at any time before 1976.
Oh, okay.
The Enterprise was donated by Paramount as part of a movie history to the Smithsonian in 1974. It's currently at the Emil Bueller Conservation Laboratory. It's in Chantilly, Virginia, but they're going to be putting it into a new exhibit called Milestone. It's in the Milestones of Flight is where it's going to live. But what they want to do... According to the Smithsonian, the Enterprise model has undergone 8 major modifications since it was built in 1964, both during and after production of the series. They want to take it all the way back to its August 1967 appearance.
Oh, nice.
So, basically, it's the way the ship looked in The Trouble with Tribbles.
Mm-hmm.
when they were shooting, that was the last time they actually shot footage of the model, apparently. And so what they want to do is go back. If anybody has photographs or any kind of imagery from that time of what the model looks like before 1974 or something, then they're asking for that help. Which I thought was rather interesting that they were trying to do that, because, you know, that's a long time ago.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's the kind of thing that people took photos of.
Yeah, and that's going to be in your photo album.
Oh, you're going to keep that. If you're a Star Trek fan, you're going to keep that. Or you're going to sit there and go, hey, I took a picture of that, and I know I've got it around here somewhere.
Yeah.
Because once upon a time, kids, turn to the old person on your right and ask them what's a photo album.
Yeah.
Ask them what a physical photo album, because you have photo albums online and things like that, but right. It's like it was an actual thing.
Yeah. You get to print, the pictures get printed out, you stick them in a page, a book.
No.
In a notebook.
You sent the pictures off to be developed.
Well, yes, and they got printed, and you get them back.
Right.
You know?
You didn't print them on your printer at home. You sent them off to a lab.
Yes. I'm it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out.
Yeah.
Because August of 67 was a long time ago.
Yeah, but still,
74 was a long time ago.
But we've talked about this, and we just recently talked about this. It's a generational thing. You have a lot of people who are our age became Star Trek fans because our parents watched it.
Yeah. I'm wondering how many of the fan film people would have images from way back when.
Oh, I think it's entirely possible.
Because they're going off of original blueprints.
Sure.
Some of them are. I know New Voyages is, Continues is. The guys down at Starbase Studios down in Oklahoma City, they're going off of original blueprints.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Somebody's got to have some pictures.
Sure.
Or something. You know? So that's going on. And then, of course, we've got all of these other shows. Now, Sonya and I have been recapping Steampunked.
Mm-hmm.
Over on the Game Show Network, we're right. About almost not quite halfway through that show.
Right.
And we're talking about the possibility of doing a live podcast for the finale.
Oh, okay.
So after we watch the finale of the competition, I think it's 10 episodes or whatever, mm-hmm. and then getting on somewhere live, probably through Google and YouTube or whatever. I don't know how we're going to do it yet,
sure.
if we're going to do it yet. But talk about the end of the first season of Steampunked. It's an interesting show.
Mm-hmm.
it was one of those things. Where I was like, yeah, do you want to watch it? I don't know. We watched the first episode. I was like, yeah, okay, we can recap this and we can, you know, cuss and discuss it. So It's been a show to watch, I guess. You know, we're watching it.
Yeah, the waves of enthusiasm coming off.
Yes.
Were pretty amazing.
Continuum's in its last season.
Right.
Just started a 6-episode run on the 11th. Z Nation is already back.
I did watch the first episode of Z Nation.
Yeah? What did you think?
It's the same thing as it was. I mean,
okay.
It's the best thing the Asylum has ever done. which, of course, is not saying much. It is still entertaining nonsense.
Yeah.
And it went a couple places that I was not expecting or necessarily asking for.
Mm.
Because you know what the world does not need more of?
Zombie George R. R. Martin?
Zombie strippers.
Oh.
Admittedly, it was a very, very bad visual joke.
Did they get Jenna Jameson back to do that?
No,
again?
Although I did see that film.
Did you?
Oh, I did. Well, I was bored,
that's usually when you start to get in trouble.
Exactly, and that was a way. It was a way to kill an hour and a half, and it was actually a fairly entertaining garbage. This episode was basically a way to do a little hand waving. Because, of course, for those of you who watch Z Nation, you remember that the final episode of the last season involved nuclear weapons. and bombs falling on our heroes, which is generally speaking a way to sit there and go, well, that's it for that. And yet somehow they all managed to survive.
You know how they survived.
Well, actually, I tell you what, there is a joke. There is a visual joke where a character gets into a refrigerator and it is blown across and it hits the ground and the door pops off and he's on fire.
Oh, man.
It was like, well, of course, he's obviously going to live and they're going to have him come back massively disfigured. But I was just like,
that's how you replace the actor.
Actually, that's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah. But it is what it was. If you're enjoying a fairly absurd take on The Walking Dead, it is that.
Yeah.
The difference is that it's willing to go places The Walking Dead isn't willing to go. It's entertaining garbage. I genuinely enjoyed the first season. It's not good TV, but it was enjoyable. I mean, and I think that probably makes it, you know.
It's at least worth watching just to kill the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that I'm like, oh, C-Nation's back!
It's not appointment television.
No, but it is the kind of thing where you sit there and go, oh, okay. Because, oddly enough, again, the best thing that they've done, because they actually spent time, they've had enough, it's TV season.
Right.
They have time to let characters develop. I have no complaints that it's back. And it's got a dog.
Oh.
Yeah. He's got a cute dog.
Zombie dog?
No, regular dog.
Regular dog.
Although, speaking of dogs, with the most recent episode of Fear of the Walking Dead, spoiler alert.
Uh-oh.
A dog does not survive.
Uh-oh.
And they show it.
Ooh.
They broke the cardinal rule.
Ooh.
Don't kill the dog. They kill the dog.
On camera?
On camera. We're like, oh, hey, look, he just killed a dog.
Mm.
Ooh, daring Fear the Walking Dead, daring. So, yeah.
Yeah. Also back on September 21st, Minority Report.
Yes.
Brand new show based on the movie.
Seen the pilot.
10 years after the movie with Tom Cruise.
Seen the pilot.
Yeah? What do you think? I haven't had a chance to sit and watch it yet.
I don't know. It feels like a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who are not as familiar with what that means, is that a lot of times the pilot is what they use to sell the concept to a network.
And it's not necessarily the same as everything else in the rest of the series.
Right. It feels okay. One of the things that Minority Report, the film, did was that it built a future. I mean, the production design on that film is amazing. Okay, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And if you look at the city in the film, you've got a lot of the older houses and things like that. But there's this definite sense of new tech, you know, these giant buildings and things like that.
Right. So
this doesn't feel like that. It's TV scale. Okay. Mm, I mean, it's, okay. And so there's logistical issues with there's a difference between doing episodes of television and doing a feature film.
Sure.
So there's a visual difference to the texture, and you can tell. I mean, that's something that stood out.
Can that not be explained away as it's 10 years later and we're in it? Are they in the same city or?
You know, I think they're in the same city, but I need to double check that. It was okay. Yeah. I mean, it didn't particularly. I don't know. It left less of an impression on me because it's. How do I put this? It's another procedural. And the difference between, say, that and the Lucifer pilot that leaked is that Lucifer is a procedural, but I smiled a lot during Lucifer.
Right.
And I laughed a lot.
They're having fun with it over there.
Yeah. I don't know. Minority Report, I'm interested in it. I mean, it still interests me as a show.
No.
But I wasn't particularly like, ooh. this looks great. It was more like, okay, sure.
Allie Ulrich, our former intern who didn't want to leave when she didn't leave when she could. No, she
didn't escape.
She didn't escape. She's going to do a basic. Here's what happened in the movie.
Sure.
Just as a setup, and then she's going
to
take recaps for Minority Report.
Those.
One of our other new people, Christopher Pryor, is going to be recapping Heroes Reborn,
which I'm looking forward to and dreading at the same time.
Yeah.
The first season was so very good.
I don't know. I just, I'm looking at it and thinking, maybe.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's lightning in a bottle, and I don't know. We'll see.
It's like watching, well, we watched a show that started off very, very promising go downhill.
Yeah.
And we got two more seasons where the quality just dropped.
For various reasons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and in all fairness to the production team and the cast and everybody involved, a lot of that was outside their control. And, I mean, they set out to, you know, nobody sets out to make bad television except for the folks, you know, the Asylum.
Yeah.
But
they should have kept their original plan and killed off Siler at the beginning, the end of season one. Well, and that was their, that was the first error.
And then the writer's strike.
And then the writer's strike.
Which derailed so much of season two.
Yeah, and change in producers.
Right.
Because I think Brian Fuller left to go do Pushing Daisies.
Right.
I think right in the middle of all of that, right?
I think so, yeah.
So was it Pushing Daisies. Pushing Daisies or was it Wonderfalls? No, it was Pushing Daisies. Because I think Wonderfalls was already done by then.
And that's a great, great show that, that was sadly canceled before its time.
Which one?
Pushing Daisies.
Well, there's talk about they're doing a musical.
I know.
They're going to do a musical of it.
I kind of love that.
I don't know. I haven't read. Is it going to be a sequel? Is it continuing the story? Or
I'm
are
not
they
sure.
Rebooting?
I mean, the comic books. The comic book thing carried on for a little while.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, yeah, that was a good. That was a really good show. Mm-hmm. For for you kids at home, he was Ronan the Accuser.
Lee
Pace.
Right.
Lee Pace first came to a lot of people's attention in Pushing Daisies, where he was a surprisingly gifted comedian slash leading man slash he reminded me a lot of and it was the format for the show. He reminded me a lot of like 1950s movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
yeah, I saw something the other day. What was it? I think it was yesterday. Somebody who's just catching up on Gargoyles.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right. Go through the entire first season, and then they realize that the hero's name is Goliath.
Right.
And the bad, quote-unquote, bad guy, Jonathan Frakes' character, his first name is David.
Uh-huh.
And somebody went, I just put that together. Mind blown. And everybody's like, it took you the whole season to figure that out? Well, you know, they never really mention his first name very often. But,
sure.
You know.
Okay, it's, yeah, it can be missed, yeah.
Yeah, so I saw, okay.
Has anyone warned them about the Goliath Chronicles yet?
I don't know.
Stop before you watch that one.
Speaking of shows that may need to carry a warning with them, Once Upon a Time is back.
Yes.
Dan Handley will be writing recaps for that.
Yes.
That's back on September 27th.
Well, you know, I will say this, is that Once Upon a Time has two things going for it.
Mm.
One, they got their special effects budget back. So they're not splitting it over two shows, so the effects are not as terrible as they were.
Yeah.
And it is a really good cast.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's a really good cast in service to some really dodgy storytelling.
I dumped out during the Pan arc. I left during that, and when I was watching that, I remember thinking to myself, well, even right before that, I remember thinking to myself, they've run out of ideas. They're throwing darts at the dartboard, and let's use this and this and this and
they melt. They milk that. They milk that so much that it's a shriveled, empty, milkless, whatever it was in the first place. But it's Disney.
No.
And Disney, do not question the mouse. The mouse will tell you how long the show will be on the air. And the mouse... then
20 years later...
Yeah, exactly.
There will be a sequel. I don't know. Who,
once
who,
upon who a time, the next generation?
No, well, Mary Poppins. Who are they going to get to play Mary Poppins?
Well, okay, that's such a good question, because in a perfect world, he said... you'd go with a British actress.
In a perfect world, they wouldn't do it.
Oh, well, there's that. Well,
that reminds me.
Emma Thompson.
Ooh.
Wait.
Wait. She already did that.
I know.
and some people think that those Nanny McPhees are the spiritual heir, as it were, to Mary Poppins. It's the same kind of character.
Oh, yeah. I would say so. Yeah, I...
But you know what they got to do?
Hmm.
You know what Disney has to do?
Yes?
There has to be a Doctor Who Easter egg in the next movie.
Oh, you would think.
Because Doctor Who
has
did a Mary Poppins Easter egg.
That wasn't an Easter egg.
No.
That was a huge... And introducing Mary Poppins.
Dish in the face.
Well, it has been argued that Mary Poppins may be a Time Lord.
Oh sure.
Her bag
is bigger on the inside.
Oh sure. So, yeah. That would be okay. Well, there, get Michelle Gomez.
That would be interesting. It'd be fun. Or
hello,
or,
children. Or they run away.
Jenna Coleman. It could be one of the Claras. Right.
It's all connected.
Come along, Pons. I saw. Where did I see it? I think I saw it today. Christopher Nolan.
Oh, yes, the Akira rumor.
Yes, an Akira trilogy. And I saw that, and I just about just gave up on everything.
Okay, again, we will say this again. If you are going to make an Akira movie...
Don't.
Please be a Japanese production company.
I don't think they're going to do it.
And please cast a Japanese cast. And you know what?
And it's got to be set in Japan.
In Japan. And you know what? Don't shoot it in English.
Oh, no. That never happened. You're never going to get that.
Because, folks, okay, again, we will say this. We will say this again. The reason Akira works is a cultural one.
Mm-hmm.
It's because... Japan is the only country on the planet that has a very unique and personal relationship with atomic weapons.
Yeah.
It's not a happy one. And that's where Akira and Godzilla and a lot of that kind of storytelling comes out of Japan for a reason. It's a cultural connection. There's uniquely American stories.
Mm-hmm.
That come out of our culture,
right?
Uniquely British stories, uniquely Indian stories, uniquely Russian stories,
right?
Akira, if you're going to do Akira, you call it Chronicle, and we've already had it.
Yeah,
it's the same.
Coming out of the Japanese culture, the movies like Godzilla and Akira and those kind of things, they weren't morality plays so much as they were. What's the word that I'm looking for?
Allegories?
Well, there's
commentary?
That, cautionary tales.
Oh, certainly cautionary. Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like Paradise by the Dashboard Lights. one of the best cautionary tales you could ever have from Meatloaf. The Godzilla stuff especially is...
Well, and you can see what happens you can see what happens when you pull that sort of stuff out of the cultural connotations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you take it out of context, it's a completely different story.
Roland Emmerich's Godzilla.
What?
Yeah, there we go. Exactly. Go buy the comics.
Mm.
Go watch the animated movie.
Yeah.
There's content that's already out that tells the story better than any. Look, Nolan is a good director. He's a good writer. He's got a great skill set. But if you transplant it to America,
which they will,
you lose. I think, and I know you agree with me. A critical context, a critical cultural context that I think it weakens the... I mean, yes, you can tell that story, but it weakens it.
I don't think there's anybody out there that's wanting this to happen.
No, not really. I don't think
everything that I've seen online, all the discussion boards, all the reaction, all the comments, is all everybody. I'd say 98% of the people that are out there are sitting there going, we don't want this.
Yeah.
We don't need this. Well, there's no reason to make this.
Again,
I mean, it's a money thing more than anything else. Sure. Let's remake everything.
But I mean, again, we made an American version of that. Mm-hmm. It was called Chronicle, and it worked. I mean, it's because Chronicle is essentially the American version of Akira. It's not the same story, not really, but it has the same kind of.
It's similar.
It's similar, and it has some. It has the kind of context that works culturally on our end.
Mm-hmm.
That plays. I think so. I mean, look.
Yeah.
Remakes happen. We know that. But,
well, and it looks like you look at, you know, things like Minority Report and Limitless is another example of that. It's coming to CBS.
Yeah.
Are we entering the age of television sequels to movies?
To a certain degree, sure. Well, and you have two things there. One, you've got an already established world.
Mm-hmm.
You've got an already established framework. And you have a potential audience that already wants to come along for the ride.
Right.
If you do it right. If you blow it.
Because they're talking about an X-Men TV series.
Yeah.
That's set in the same universe as the movies.
Sure.
We got Star Wars Rebels.
Right.
Which, you know, that looks really good. have you seen the season 2 premiere yet?
I have not.
Oh, they ran it. When did they run it? We were in Hutchinson, Kansas for Smallville Comic Con that weekend. So that was June 21st.
Wow, I'm behind.
That hour, it was an hour show, and it ran on Disney XD. They just popped it in there and did it. Not a whole lot of fanfare to begin with. And we managed to catch it and watch it, and it is really good. You know, you've got James Earl Jones as Darth Vader. Not an incidental character by any stretch of the imagination in this episode. Ahsoka Tano, of course, is back, you know, full time.
Mm-hmm.
So Ashley Eckstein is back. And there's this one moment. And I don't, you know, I don't know if I should spoil it or not. Should I spoil it?
I don't know. Should you?
Okay. You know how, let me see if I can non-spoil it and still kind of go. You know how in The Empire Strikes Back, when Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker were able to kind of mentally connect a little bit back and forth,
sure.
You know, there's a relationship there. Well, something similar to that happens somewhere in this episode.
Oh, okay.
And I'll let you put the pieces together there, but there's a reaction. I mean, there's recognition and reaction,
mm-hmm.
and it's one of those things where it's like, and it sets up, you know, it's going to set up, it sets up a lot, I think, of what's going to play out in the season.
Interesting.
Between those two. So, it's going to be, then, and it is, it's back October 14th. So, that'll be interesting to see how that goes. But, yeah, because right there, all of that's in the middle of, we're going into Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm, right.
And Rogue One.
Right.
And people are still wondering whether or not Rebels and Rogue One are going to be connected in some way, that maybe some of the characters are going to cross over from the animated to the live action. I don't know, because it's in that same time period. You know, Rebels right. happens right before Rogue One, which is right before Star Wars.
Right.
And it's Star Wars, not Star Wars Episode IV, New Hope.
Right.
Get off my lawn. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out because of the timing there. But we've got Rogue One that's already shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 8 just started shooting.
Right.
On the same island, in I think in Ireland or in Scotland,
Ireland, wasn't it?
Ireland, yeah, where I guess maybe that's where Luke Skywalker has been holed up, we think, according to rumor, maybe. I don't know.
It'll be a flashback.
It'll be interesting to see how that all goes. But, yeah, the one I'm looking forward to is Supergirl.
Supergirl, that pilot 26. Was really good.
Yeah, the pilot's really strong, and I'm looking at some of the footage, some of the behind-the-scenes footage from the first day of shooting the series.
Yeah.
And they're out in, I don't want to say the middle of nowhere, but it's a proving ground. The first thing that they're shooting when they come back to series is testing Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the rockets, the rocket launchers, and all the military hardware and everything else.
Right.
And Melissa Benoist, of course, is like, oh, she's so excited because, you know, she's out, you know, it's the first day and she's out in costume and they're blowing stuff up. And,
right.
You know, it's one of those things. So it's going to be interesting to see how that series plays out. I hope they don't do Villain of the Week. I think they're going to do some of that. I just hope it's not every week. I'd like to see some villains have arcs.
A little bit,
some mini arcs.
Well, arcs are just better storytelling at this point.
I do think we're going to get some of that in The Flash, which is back in October, October 6th.
Right.
The Flash is going to have that because we're going to have the explanation. The most recent promo that we've seen, the extended promo, has Jay Garrick saying, "When you opened up the hole to the universe."
Right. Yeah.
It created a portal, and now there's people coming through. So you've got villains from other dimensions
that
are going to drop into Central City.
It's how we're getting Tom Cavanaugh back.
It's how we're getting Tom Cavanaugh. It's how we're going to get, pretty much all of them.
Yeah. I think the alternate version of
Wally West is going to be there.
Zoom.
Yeah. Tony Todd.
Atom Smasher.
Do you see Tony Todd has been cast as the voice of Zoom?
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder if Tony Todd is just doing the voice of Zoom. What is Zoom? What is Zoom going to look like? How are they going to present Zoom if they're promoting Tony Todd as the voice?
Well, the Reverse Flash, was most of the time this vibrating thing.
Right.
We may just never see him.
It's going to be a blur.
Yeah.
The red blue blur.
Yeah. See, I mean, then again, you know, Tony Todd's just got one of those voices.
Yeah. Well, he's in Axanar.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Star Trek Axanar. Well, Axanar.
Right. No longer currently Star Trek Axanar. Blind Spot is coming.
Blind Spot, yeah. Does that look like it's going to be genre or not? I can't tell.
It's so hard to tell with that one because it's
It's Greg Berlanti.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be genre.
Right. And it's you know... I'm gonna watch at least the first episode. But that's a really good question whether it's gonna be genre or not.
Because that one's back. That starts September 21st.
Right.
Which is the same night as Gotham and Minority Report.
Right.
So
since I'm not watching
and Scorpion,
since I'm not watching Gotham, and I've already seen the pilot to Minority Report.
Yeah.
And I'm not watching Scorpion.
I thought you were watching Scorpion.
No,
you're watching. You were watching Person of Interest.
Right. Yeah. Scorpion does nothing for me. I just not have the slightest interest in it. Person of Interest, on the other hand, one of the best genre shows that isn't really considered to be a genre show, and probably in its final season.
Yeah.
Where it looks like it's either going to be, well, we already had open war between two AIs last season, and.
Right.
The good guys lost. Currently, the world is under threat that it doesn't even know it.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, really, really well made show. Surprisingly prescient.
Yeah.
For things that they were talking about when that show started, it's like, wow, full-time surveillance? Are you kidding? Oh, wait, what?
Yeah. It's kind of like Bloom County from 20 years ago.
Drones? Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, well, it's been very interesting because it started off as speculative fiction, and it has become reality. And disturbingly, Person of Interest's AI, concept of its AIs are not
too far-fetched?
No, not far-fetched at all. I mean, the fact that they exist. I mean, I don't see any indications that we have that kind of technology yet, or the ability, or that we're going to have that kind of network, neural networks, essentially.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting show because there are very many shades of gray. The villain has a reason for doing what he's doing, and you're like, well, you're completely evil, and you're a horrible, horrible person, but I understand your reasoning.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, you're like, ooh, I sympathize with your thought process. It's wrong, but I can see how you got there.
Mm-hmm.
And your heroes are flawed. When you could,
which all heroes are anymore.
Well, but I mean, it's
except Captain America.
Except these guys feel like people. They're flawed like people.
Yeah.
And you realize, for example, for the folks who haven't caught the show, I highly recommend going back and watching the previous seasons. But there's a wonderful bit where you actually see the creation of the intelligence, the mind of the machine, that the quote unquote good AI.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that Finch, one of our heroes, didn't realize that he was dealing with a sentient creature initially, and he would kill it every single day.
Mm.
And so it both loves him and fears him because he would kill it every day, and and it started to know. He started to realize that it was, so it is just like, and then he realized. And so you're like, but it's a solid writing. And a show that really became a science fiction show as it went along. I don't think anybody was really viewing it as a science fiction series.
Kind of like Lost when it started out. Nobody knew that it was going to go where it went.
True, but I have great faith. And I real certainty that the end of Person of Interest will not be, and they all lived happily ever after, or they all died happily ever after, whichever way you want to look at the ending of Lost. But
right.
No, I think it's going to be one of those endings you're going to sit there and go, well, that's the right ending, but man.
All right, we are going to continue our discussion of the fall season. After the break, we're going to let you hear from our sponsor, SuperheroStuff.com. where you can get all sorts of fine licensed merchandise. And if you've got shows that you are looking forward to in particular, you can always send us an email, h20@scififorme.com, or you can call our hotline. It's 573-42-SCIFI. And on the other side of the break, we're going to talk more about the upcoming fall TV season. Shows we're looking forward to, shows that we're kind of looking sideways at, when we continue. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to H2O on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Age of Ultron stuff.
SuperheroStuff.com.
Where can you get Justice League stuff?
SuperheroStuff.com.
Where can you get Doctor Who stuff?
SuperheroStuff.com.
Where can you get Daredevil stuff?
SuperheroStuff.com.
New items being added all the time. Get your superhero stuff at superherostuff.com. Plus, the Hero Box is back. $70 worth of superhero stuff for only $49. Superherostuff.com, where heroes shop.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon, or find them on the web at atomiccotton.com. Atomic Cotton, shirts and art for fans by fans.
The fall TV season is just around the corner, and you know what that means. Recaps. Join us over at scififorme.com as we dive into the new shows, the new seasons, with our unique blend of play-by-play and color commentary. That's a little sporting speak there. We'll talk about the shows and share our analysis, and you're more than welcome to join the conversation. Fall TV hits Sci-Fi for Me, starting in September only at scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
You're listening to Sci-Fi for Me Radio, until you unsubscribe in a sudden but inevitable betrayal.
Back on H2O, Jason Hunt here, along with 80% of Timothy Harvey.
Yeah, the other 20% seems to be draining out of my head. So.
Yes, and we are talking about the fall TV season is right around the corner. It is upon us now. We've got Doctor Who starting. We've got Steampunked is on the air. Fear the Walking Dead's on the air.
I'm really looking forward to Saturday.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Although, there are some people out there that are not quite as enamored with Doctor Who as they used to be.
Well, but you know what? That happens with a lot. That happens with shows.
Yep.
And I think that it's we have a thoughtful article on the site.
Yeah,
by Angie, someone who is not necessarily enamored of the show, right?
Right. Angie wrote this this opinion piece. You know, breaking up is hard to do. She's talking about how she's losing enthusiasm for various reasons. Uh-huh. And oddly enough, after we posted that. Angie sent me a link. Jill Pantozzi wrote an article. You know, Jill from the Mary Sue history there. She's got an article in Playboy online talking about whether or not it's okay to break up with that show. And it's more general terms. It's not specific to Doctor Who.
Sure.
It's just, you know that show, that song, that band.
Yeah.
That particular thing that you've grown up having an interest in, at what point is it okay to break up with that particular interest? And so I thought it was really interesting that the timing on those that came out within a couple of days of each other. But yeah, Doctor Who's coming back. I still want to see Sean Pertwee play Third Doctor.
That would be great.
You know, that would just be so perfect.
And I will say this for the folks who are. I know that there's some folks, interestingly enough, there are some folks who are thinking that they're in Doctor Who's case, some folks who are done with the show because they don't like the showrunner or they think it's time for it to be played by a black actor or a female actor or whatever it is. The time will come. The one of the advantages of a show like Doctor Who over a lot of shows is that it's going to keep going. Even if it goes off the air again, it'll come back. And I have great faith at some point there will be a black actor playing the part. And I think with their great faith there will be a female doctor. It's going to happen. Just because you can get the advantage of that show is that it can and will change with the times.
Yeah.
Nobody ever thought when that show went off the air that it was coming back. Nobody thought when that show went off the air there would be a 20-something actor playing the part.
Yeah.
Nobody thought...
You know, He's too young.
Yeah. Nobody ever thought John Hurt would play the Doctor.
Oh, no kidding.
So, or that James Bond would show up and play the bad guy. You know, you just... These are things... That, you know, so for the folks who are feeling that way with Doctor Who right now, well, you're you know, the things you want out of that show are probably going to happen. Because that's the kind of show it is. So I think that's, and if you're dying for a female doctor, then go find the comic relief episode with Rowan Atkinson and Joanna Lumley.
Oh, that's right.
Played the first female doctor, and quite frankly, it's the first time I ever sat there and looked at the doctor and went,
Yeah.
because Joanna Lumley, as someone who is less of a fan of Absolutely Fabulous, was that it?
I think so.
Than a lot of folks, I was not a huge fan of that show.
Wasn't she also in Willow?
That's Joan Whatley Kilmer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
So, anyway. So, but the thing is that you know, you. Doctor Who's going to be a lot of things over its period of time. You know, it's before that show disappears forever, which is going to be a long time from now.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I mean, Idris Elba for Doctor Who. I would.
Speaking of disappearing and reappearing, Molly Montgomery.
Yeah,
has returned to the fold. She is going to be writing recaps of The Vampire Diaries.
That's right.
Which is back on October 8th. And we're very excited to have her back.
Oh, yeah.
At least part time. Mm-hmm. She's going to be doing that. And we've got a new person coming on board for the Supernatural recaps, Teresa Wickersham, who was recruited by Maya Aids.
Mm-hmm.
She has absolutely no idea what she's letting herself in for.
It's too late. You've become one of us now.
But I think it's good to have, you know, fresh voices. We've got some fresh perspectives on some of the stuff. And hopefully we'll be able to crank these out in a reasonable amount of time. And, you know, because that's something that I've even run into is, you know, being able to watch the show, watch the episode, and then turn around and do a recap.
Right.
Because a lot of times we don't get screeners. We don't have any way of seeing them, even going into the press sites
right.
for the networks. Mm-hmm. They don't always put episodes out ahead of time.
No, they don't.
Now, Fox is pretty good about some of them, some of the shows. You know, like I said, we already seen the first two episodes of Gotham, and Minority Report is up and that kind of thing. But, you know, the CW. We don't have any screeners for the CW yet.
Well, the BBC doesn't put out screeners.
Yeah, we don't get anything from them.
Well, I take that back. We have gotten some advanced stuff from BBC occasionally.
Yeah, NBC does every now and again. I think last season they put up three or four episodes of Grimm.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't the whole season. Netflix gave us the first five episodes of Daredevil before it hit on the air.
Right.
So I expect we'll probably get three or four episodes of Jessica Jones before it drops on November 20th.
Yeah, I wasn't so sure about the first trailer.
It was different.
Yeah, it was definitely different.
Interesting. Psychedelic.
It didn't much sell me on the... If I didn't know what I was watching...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it necessarily
sell
me on what it was watching.
It has the same sensibilities in a way as the Daredevil title sequences.
Okay, sure.
But it doesn't say very much about the show. Although people are seeing, you know, you see pieces and elements in that that trailer that give you hints about some of the things, you know, the purple, yeah. There's a lot of purple. There's the Alias Investigations door, you know, right. The old film noir type of style to it. So it looks like it's going to be kind of a cross between Acid Trip and 1940s noir, maybe.
Which is, you know, kind of the way it should be.
Yeah. So that's coming. Let's see, Jordan Williams is going to cover that one for us. Let's see. iZombie is back.
Right.
And that's going to be Sci-Fi for Chicks. Heather and Alex are going to discuss the episodes of that show like they did last time.
Surprisingly good show. That actually has turned out, for a lesser-known comics property, it turned out to be a really, really solid show.
Yeah. Chris Pryor is also going to take 12 Monkeys.
Right. Which I really enjoyed the first season of.
Well, and Cammie Settle's going to do The Librarians when it comes back.
Right.
November 1st.
Another one that I actually enjoyed quite a bit.
Yeah, it actually turned out pretty good. And it's funny because they did a TNT ran a marathon, I think, of some episodes here a weekend ago. And we caught the finale of the season. And they followed the finale of the season with the very first movie.
Oh, okay.
When he got recruited.
Right.
And there's so much that's different.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, there's nuggets where you see, oh, that's where that came from. And it went, you see the beginnings of it.
You can follow the thread. Yeah.
Because, you know, Nicole was the guardian. But there wasn't any established, you know, the world building wasn't done yet.
Right.
And so you've got these bits and pieces of things that eventually turned into something, the evolution of it. You know, it's really interesting to watch, you know, to compare the first season finale, you know, of the show with that first standalone movie.
Right.
And see, you know, where things are and where it's different and, you know, how Noah Wiley approaches his performances, Flynn Carson, and,
sure.
you know, that kind of thing. So it was weird to see them back to back.
Well, and for those of you who wouldn't necessarily have watched The Librarians, if you enjoyed Warehouse 13,
yeah,
it's the closest thing you're going to get to that kind of vibe.
It's Indiana Jones in Warehouse 13.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And I think that if you're a fan of Warehouse 13, you're probably going to like The Librarians a lot.
Yeah, it's a good show. I like what they've done with the TV series version of it. Although it would be nice to have Stana Katic come back, but you know,
she will return to our screens.
Well, yeah, but she'll be in Castle. She won't be in a librarian show.
I know, but she'll return to our screens.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of returning, what else have we got? Ash versus Evil Dead.
I know.
That's back Halloween.
Yeah.
October 31st. And that's going to be on Starz Network.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Campbell, Lucy Lawless.
And the Deadites.
And the Deadites.
Because Ash continues, apparently, to be the world's worst hero. And that's why we love him.
Yeah, CBS has got a show coming on. I'm trying to figure out whether or not it's going to be genre.
Which one?
Angel from Hell.
Okay. I'm not sure. I actually don't know that one.
This is Jane Lynch.
Right. Okay. So far, so good.
Okay. So Jane Lynch plays this character who might be an angel, might be crazy.
Sure.
And you look at the first promo. Maggie Lawson plays Allison, and she's the protagonist.
Right.
And Jane Lynch is Amy, and she's the crazy who might be an angel. And it's ambiguous enough in the promo that you don't know, because you know this person might have some connection to Allison in the past because she knows things about, you know, it's one of those, how did you know that?
Right.
What? You know, so you start having that question of whether or not she's really a supernatural being.
Right.
Or if she just somehow is a stalker that knows these things. And I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, if she's an angel, if we're going that route.
Sure.
Then that makes this genre.
It's
genre adjacent,
right? And it could be a fantasy series, or it could be, you know, because a show like, say, Touched by an Angel, would not necessarily be a genre show.
No, I would say not.
But it's so sad. I remember when that show was on the air.
But if you did a series version of Mercury Falls,
right? It would definitely be a genre. Yeah. Or someone were to finally actually give us the Good Omens movie that we really desperately want, because it is still the funniest. It's still the funniest version of the apocalypse ever put to pen, pen to paper. And I want that so bad. I really, that would be so much fun. Do you remember the TV show Cupid with Jeremy Piven?
The Jeremy Piven version? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Where the question was, is he crazy or is he actually Cupid? And they did a pretty good job of balancing that for a while. And I actually enjoyed that show quite a bit. Actually, it was not brilliant television, but
I liked that version better than I liked the remake.
Yeah. I think it's you can do that kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, Jane Lynch is always fun to watch. So I think it's certainly worth checking out, I think we'd find out pretty quick if it's going to fall into the genre territory.
I think so, yeah. Well, it's kind of like Eli Stone with Johnny Lee Miller.
Right.
You know, is it the brain tumor, or is he, you know, does he have superpowers?
Right.
You know, it's one of those, it's right there just walking the line. Is this a genre show?
Which is actually okay. If you can pull it off, then go for it.
And that's the key. Is being able to actually pull it off
right.
and do it right, which some shows can't.
No, that's very true. That's very true. I think the plus side of it being a genre show would be that I don't think we've ever had Jane Lynch in a genre show.
I don't think so.
That could be kind of cool to have her come over to the come to the dark side, Jane.
Yep. Now Maggie Lawson, she was on Psych,
right?
And before that, did some Disney movies or something. But she was in something. And actually, she was the reason I started watching Psych, because I had seen her in something else.
Yeah.
But she's the lead in this one.
Yeah, well, it's worth a first look.
Yeah, at least.
Definitely a first look. I think that could be interesting. It's curious because there's, for genre shows dealing with religious subjects, tends to be a little bit soft touch, light. Don't get too deep.
Well, yeah, because you can't take a stand one way or the other on any particular way to do it.
But then you have something like Lucifer, where it's blunt. It's like, no, I am the devil, and this fellow over here is an angel. He doesn't like me. And because I'm the devil, and I mean it makes your protagonist be the traditional villain,
right?
You know, so that's interesting. But I think one of the more blatantly traditional religious shows on the air is interesting because it's going to be a genre show.
We'll have to see how that plays out.
Yeah, it could be because it's radically different from the comic. I did enjoy the pilot a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that it can certainly go some interesting places, but it's not going to go where the comic went.
Yeah. Now, that leads us to our big show.
Comics? And
big show.
Maybe a show about... Wait. Is it a show about agents?
Yes.
And do they work for an organization with an acronym?
Yes.
And wait. Are there people who may not be humans in it?
Yes.
Okay.
You are correct, sir. Yes, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agents of... Let's get the correct title there. Right. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Do not condense.
Back on September 29th, as will be our... podcast level 117, which is our Marvel Cinematic Universe discussion. And I think we're going to do an episode prior to that and do a little here's what we know so far thing. Just to wrap up everything that we know so far about the upcoming season, which is going to be the Secret Warriors storyline
on a slow burn, apparently.
Yeah.
And they've indicated this is not something, this is something that's going to take place over time. It's not going to be like,
well, because the Inhumans are, you know, that movie's not set to come out until what, 2020, 2019,
something like that.
They're definitely going to be taking their time to build this up.
Daisy's new costume we saw.
Yeah,
came out today, wasn't it?
Yeah, Chloe Bennett putting that on Instagram.
Looks good.
Looks good. Mm-hmm. And somebody pointed out that Quake's logo.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, she's got a logo. Who knew? That's on the back of the outfit.
Well, I mean, Superman has a symbol. Batman has a symbol. It's Quake's symbol, right?
Yeah. I didn't realize that she had a symbol. But it's on the gauntlets, and it's on the back. It's on the back of the uniform.
Okay, cool.
So that looks pretty good. Lincoln has a code name now.
Mm-hmm.
Sparkplug.
Of course.
Okay. We know it's picking up about 6 months later.
Right.
The search for Simmons apparently has been abandoned by all except for Fitz.
Wait, are you saying that Fitz is holding on?
Yes.
I could never have seen that coming.
He's carrying the torch for Gemma Simmons. We don't know what's going to happen to her.
She's coming back, though.
She is coming back.
Will she be the same? Will she be different?
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so there's that coming. Then, of course... Right in the middle of all of that is going to be Captain America Civil War.
Right.
So there are some people that are concerned because we don't want a repeat of season one.
Oh, God,
where
no.
we sit
Please,
and
no.
spin our wheels until the movie comes out before they're able to do whatever it is they're wanting to do. I don't think that's going to be the case, because if they're focusing so much on the inhuman side of things, and if they're focused on the Secret Warriors part of it, this is very much going to be a team under the radar. Along those lines, you know,
right.
that part of the storyline, but I think also the fact that whatever they have going in the season could build into, it could play towards Civil War.
Right.
Because you've got the registry and they got to find people, and what are they going
right.
to do with them, and are they good guys, are they bad guys, are they, what kind of powers do they have, we got to write it down and have a record, and it does kind of sort of start playing into that, because last season we had a little bit of that with Simmons sitting there saying, you know, they, you know, we have a registry, and you know, everybody needs to be on the registry, and that was one of the points of contention between her and Daisy,
right?
Yeah, we're gonna have to get used to calling her a new name. But that was one of those things, like, you know, we're friends, and now that I've got powers, now you suddenly don't trust me. Now you're looking at me different.
You do realize that I'm still going to have Ward go,
yeah, I love you.
because
he's coming back as the new head of Hydra or a splinter group or something. I don't know.
But he doesn't know she's called Daisy now. So
right.
Or at least he does. I don't think.
That's true.
I don't think
he doesn't. No, he doesn't actually know. Had that.
So still, we'll have that moment. Sky, I'm Daisy now, or whatever.
Yeah.
But here, you know, there was an article, and I want to say it was IO9, one of the, I think it was a contributor, I don't know if it was an actual, one of the staff of IO9, that wrote a Why They're Afraid for Civil War.
Oh, yeah?
And they broke down what was wrong with the comic book series, because basically, you basically had Iron Man and Captain America behaving in ways that are really, really dumb.
Completely out of character.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah.
In fact, strictly speaking, if you want to go that route, which is questionable, you flip them.
Right.
Because Tony's personality, especially in the movies.
Yeah, he's the rebel.
Is the rebel. And the one who would say, like, no, you don't get to have the tech because
although
I can't
it
trust
plays,
you with the
although
tech.
Although the, you know, that whole thread in Age of Ultron where he's trying to get to a point where the technology can do it all, that does sort of, you know, his motivation, you know, the whole, you know, the trauma of New York and his PTSD and all of this other stuff does kind of play into the, you know, yes, we do need to have our threats listed. We do need to have a record. We do need to keep track of
but we
because,
don't. But
you know,
we don't
whatever.
Have. We wouldn't have. Well, okay. Well, one of the other things to point out is that there really aren't secret identities
right.
in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
There's no.
There's
and,
no masks.
And frankly, the you know, introduction of Spider-Man is not going to be an impetus.
Mm-mm.
I mean, there's just not there. It doesn't. So it's
or even if we didn't have Spider-Man, Black Panther.
Right. This isn't a reason to have a thing happen.
Right.
It's like, you must take off your mask. No, not really. Sorry.
Although the reasoning, the explanation that I read for the original Civil War, for the characters acting the way they did,
mm-hmm.
was supposed to lead into that whole secret invasion storyline that didn't play out immediately after Civil War. It wasn't Secret Wars. What was it that was... Because it was supposed to, Civil War was supposed to lead right into the alien invasion and
the Skrull,
the whole Skrull thing, and
right.
the idea that these characters were acting out of character was because some of them were under alien influence,
mm-hmm.
and then that payoff didn't happen for whatever editorial.
Well,
reason.
I think the reason
it was 6-8 months later.
Well, they unfortunately ran into the same problem they ran into with the Clone Saga. The Spider-Man Clone Saga, it actually still happened, folks. You can't ignore it. And in retrospect, it's no worse a storyline than One More Day. Let's face it. Any, you know, at least with the Clone Saga, you got Ben Reilly, and you didn't wipe out, you know, Peter and Mary Jane Watson's marriage.
Right.
Curse you. But
although that's back.
Oh yeah, sort of.
Sort of.
But the Clone Saga, the biggest problem with the Clone Saga was not the Clone Saga. It's the fact that they dragged it out because of sales numbers.
Right.
And I think that's
one of the things
that was a Civil War problem as well. Yeah.
You're going to run into that problem, the potential for that problem with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. going into Civil War.
Right.
Because, you know, hopefully they put enough focus on the Secret Warriors storyline that we're not going to feel the stretch marks going into Civil War.
But we also don't want it to be as tenuous as the whole big subplot mystery of Coulson and his secret plans.
Yeah, yeah.
Was to bring out a helicarrier. So that was that. That's it. That's
yeah.
That's. Is it a helicarrier full of? No, it's just it's a helicarrier. That's it. That's all. It's wait. Does it have? No. It's just a helicarrier.
And that would still would have been the perfect place to reveal in Age of Ultron. To reveal that Coulson was still alive. I still have a problem with this separation between the TV and the movies.
Well,
which is now going to be worse because the movies are now, Feige is directly reporting to Alan Horn, and the creative committee is gone. The creative committee is out. Ike Perlmutter, Brian Michael Bendis,
right.
You know, all those guys, they're still involved on the TV side of things, but the movies, Feige's on his own.
But the big reason for Coulson not showing up in the movies after that was a Whedon call.
I know.
But
I know.
Whedon, so you
but
could have.
And Whedon has said the TV show lives separate from everything else, which I think is a mistake.
Well, but the thing is that if the folks doing Civil War say we want Coulson,
mm-hmm.
and you could they're going to have Coulson because they run the studio. They're going to sit there and go, we want you to come and be in the movie. And he'd be like, okay.
No.
And then you could have your whole, aren't you dead?
Yeah, considering that just about everybody is in Civil War.
I know.
Avengers 2.5.
So if he shows up, first of all, will we notice? Because the screen will be very crowded.
Yeah, no kidding.
And second of all, he brings all of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in to fight.
Yeah.
And
yeah. They all got to be in it. Well.
Although I tell you what, if I was to write that scene, it would actually be that whatever the huge big battle scene, right?
Right.
Where, and suddenly it's like, you know, Captain America, and suddenly it's like he whips around and bumps into, he's back to back with Coulson. He's like, aren't you dead? Well, you were, you know, something like that, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, good point. And then you just go on. And
and
that's the cameo. He's just there long enough. He and his team are there long enough to establish. And Cap's like, good point. And, you know, and that's it.
We'll talk about it later.
Exactly.
I'll tell you later. It's a long story.
It's a long story. Yeah. That's right.
And I want to see, May in the movies.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see Agent May in the movies. Quake. I could take it or leave it.
I want a May Black Widow scene.
Oh, yes.
Because wouldn't that just be fun?
That would. Oh, that's how you put Scarlett Johansson in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
In a flashback when Black Widow wasn't an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. yet.
When May takes her down. Ooh.
May and Barton were the ones to go after her.
I would.
And Barton talks her out of it.
I would let them shoot that scene. I would let them do that for us.
Mm-hmm.
Make this happen.
Yeah, make it
Whedon's,
happen.
Whedon's. Yes. Pay attention.
Yeah. So what? Out of all of the ones that, yeah, I mean, we got a completely brand new Green Arrow that's coming in.
Right.
Out of all of these shows that we've been talking about tonight, what are you looking forward to the most out of all of this stuff? Because there's a ton of genre.
Well, I'll be honest, right now it's Doctor Who, probably because it's so close,
right?
And because they're experimenting with the storytelling again, right? So we're doing it's a two-parter season.
Oh, so Clara's going to be the Doctor again?
Well, actually, the teasers from, was it Radio Times? Somebody just put out a bunch of teaser lines of dialogue. And the implication.
Didn't they also list an episode? Wasn't there an episode list that we got?
We got episode lists and titles and things like that. But yeah. There is a, and a little more information than a lot of people want, actually. There's an implication in the final episode of the season that somebody may not make it.
Bum, 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 bum.
And I guarantee you it's going to, one way or the other, it's going to make people upset. And then we have the Christmas special with River Song.
Yeah.
Which I am, I love Alex Kingston. And I've been dying to see. I would love to see her and Capaldi go up against each other. That could be so much fun.
It could be.
Especially if he's completely new to her. Because, you know, her doctor was the 11th.
Right.
And right. So, and of course, there wasn't supposed to be a 12th doctor because all the incarnations were used up.
That's right. He was dead at Trenzalore, and right. That whole thing changed.
So who knows? Yeah. I don't know how they're going to do it, but anyway, it's going to be fun. So that one, I'm looking forward to The Flash. I'm looking forward to The Flash of the TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
As much as Supergirl looks good, looks really good, as much as I've enjoyed Arrow overall, even though there have been some rough patches.
Season 3 was very uneven.
It was very uneven, yes. Yeah. I'm still not a huge fan of what they did with Ra's al Ghul. It's not the, but we're getting Sarah back.
Yeah.
So, and I'm looking forward to,
Legends of Tomorrow,
especially since we've seen the new Hawk.
Yeah.
The Hawk Man, costumes. Yep. I kind of like them.
I do.
They're different. Yep. They're different than I expected, but I like them. I'd like to see how they move, but, so Flash is what I'm looking forward to a lot. Minority Report was okay. I'd be interested to see where they go with it.
Sierra Renee, who plays Hawk Girl, she posted on Instagram, I think today, the harness.
Mm-hmm.
Before the costume goes on, she posted a photograph of all of the rigging,
sure.
for the flying harness and stuff. Layers of just stuff.
Oh yeah,
and I'm like. Yeah, they've come a long way since, you know, since Peter Pan and that kind of stuff on stage. But you know, you've got the harness, of course, but there's all this padding on everywhere. Oh,
aerial work is really hard on the body.
Yeah.
I think that...
But it makes me wonder if she's going to be doing some stunt work, too.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
At least they've kind of protected in case something goes wrong, I think, right. The idea there. Looking forward to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Concerned, of course, because there is a tie-in to some degree with a film.
Right.
And we've seen that go south on them before.
Agent Carter is going to be in Los Angeles this season.
Agent Carter's got some... it looks like a really real potential on that one to have a strong second season. And maybe not have some of the problems that I think we ran into in the first one.
Filler episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully... So, yeah, yeah.
I'm hoping they're done with the whole "Hey, men, stupid," and Carter the smartest one in the room. That just really got old after.
Well, I think that
two episodes.
If they give us that, I hope they give us men who are stupid without being really, really bad at it. I mean, because it's like there was a whole lot of just.
Yeah, there was a lot of Keystone Cops last year.
Yeah, and look, if you're going to do a show set in a time period where men were pretty much going, you know, honey, fetch me the coffee.
Right.
Make them three-dimensional. You know, well, give us a reason to, you know, if Mad Men can do it.
Yeah, the thing that bugged me about that whole thing was you're making Carter the smartest one in the room to the detriment of the rest of the characters. They weren't all equally smart.
Right.
You know, it was one of those things where it almost the way it ended up, and I don't know that they intended to do it this way, but Carter ended up being the smart one by default,
right?
Because nobody else was smart.
Well, yeah,
and you don't write a good character, male or female, that way. You know, you've got to have, you know, if especially if you're doing an ensemble, they have to all be at a certain level of quality in the writing, whether they're stupid or smart, they have to be smartly written.
Right.
And that was one of the things that I thought Agent Carter missed last year.
I think unfortunately it was I felt like they wanted to talk about the fact that Carter at that period in American history, a woman in Carter's position was up against some serious obstacles in terms of how she would be perceived by the men around her.
Right.
And I think that's a valid, certainly, yeah, that you could do that. The problem is that we also have a character who didn't just pop out of nowhere. She came out of a history of the Captain America movies, and then we have the Howling Commando show up, and they talk about how awesome she is. And it's like, I think nobody ever bothered to read her file.
I think this is something that you and I might disagree on, and it certainly I've run up against this before. I think the feminism message trumped the story in some of those episodes. I think it became too much of, you know, female lead, feminist icon, hero type of thing, rather than let's tell a really good story with a good, strong lead character.
See, I could see that, and yet I wouldn't necessarily agree with it, because to me, it didn't even seem that...
Not all the time. There were certain pieces in the different episodes where it was just like, let's put the feminist message in there, and it didn't serve the story.
Well, I think to me, it was less that, and more they just didn't know how to find a way to do it that wasn't shorthand.
Yeah.
And the problem with shorthand...
Very clunky shorthand.
...is that it felt, you know, you have to get away... Okay, in television...
It was shorthand that was informed by modern sensibilities, not the stuff of that time period.
Well, and unfortunately, but you've got 42 minutes of television.
Yeah.
And which does not give you a lot of time. And you're telling it for a modern audience, so that's actually fairly. And look, as much as a film noir fan as I am, film noir has a in terms of modern audiences, okay, it is not the biggest genre out there,
right?
And so, if you set something in what is essentially the film noir, quote unquote film noir time period, right, you're going to run into stuff. Where an audience, you're stuck telling it through a modern sensibility. That's just
I don't know why they didn't go more film noir with it, because you could easily do it. And it would be so much fun to watch.
Oh, I think so. I think that
even if you desaturate the color, you know, make it almost black and white, you could.
But
do
I can, but like I can it. Understand from a point of view of knowing that there really doesn't seem outside from there's a dedicated film noir audience out there. There's Kansas City just had a film noir convention.
Yeah.
And it was very well done and had a great turnout, and we're all and loved to have it back. But it's also, you're trusting the audience, and studios are not necessarily known for trusting the audience. Even Marvel.
We've talked about that.
Even Marvel and television. I can understand not taking the risk. To me, it just felt like they tried to do something without giving themselves the time to do it, or... Well, yeah, because basically they opted for the shorthand version.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with the shorthand version is that it can very easily become men are idiots.
Which it did.
And unfortunately, it made the male characters not sympathetic.
Right.
And by the end of the show, you're asked to kind of care about a few of them.
But you've already checked out of them,
and to some degree, it's really hard to do that if you're not. So, I think it was a question of less intent, and more.
They just painted themselves into a corner, maybe.
I can't speak to their intent. I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
But to me, it felt more of a question of maybe rushed writing.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get here to here to here. Because as much as Carter is an awesome character, she made some poor decisions through the course of that show. Which is okay. Characters can make poor decisions.
Well, you had to get to the point where you introduced the Red Room, the Black Widow program,
right,
toward the end,
sure,
to have that connection to Natasha. I'm looking forward to Supergirl.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking forward to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
cautiously optimistic what they're going to do with Arrow.
Yeah.
Because I think they've recognized that the tone of The Flash and Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow is going to play a lot better with audiences than Grimdark Arrow. So they're going to lighten the mood there, and I'm hoping that that's a good decision on their part. I would really love to see Young Justice come back. Star Wars Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to that. Be interesting to see where they take that one, because, you know, it's everything's in play right now. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, with everything leading up to the new movie, I'm curious to see, because now it's all connected. It's all part of the official canon now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see where they're going to take that one. So yeah, it's an interesting time to be a genre fan.
Yeah, because
television is just loaded with it.
Yeah, and I think that's and we haven't even talked about some of the, you know, stuff that's coming out on, you know, even later. I mean, we got, you know, there's Sci-Fi Channel's bringing stuff out and blah blah.
Yeah, yeah, because so, you got Dark Matter and Killjoys both renewed for a new season.
Sure, more excited about Killjoys than Dark Matter, but Dark Matter was entertaining.
Did Defiance get picked up? Dominion, you get those two. You get The Expanse coming.
Yeah, The Expanse is still got some
Childhood's End.
Right.
You know, there's all sorts of stuff. But, you know, those aren't going to be series, but still, I mean, that's. It's stuff coming up in the fall, and it's going to be on Sci-Fi.
I know. It's crazy talk.
Crazy talk.
It's like madness over there.
I know. Speaking of which, social media. Madness. You talk about madness. Good Lord. We are on the social media.
They can follow us on the social media.
They can follow us on the social media. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, Google+, YouTube, and Tumblr.
Uh-huh.
And we have an email address that you could share your thoughts on what you're looking forward to for the fall season. And that is h2o@scififorme.com. Or you can call our hotline. It's area code 573-42-SCIFI. And if you are so inclined, we do have a campaign going over on Patreon where we're trying to expand our resources and be able to do a lot of this stuff, you know, bigger, better, faster, more. That's patreon.com/scififorme. You can pledge some support, some financial support, if you are so inclined, if you're of a mind to. And that's going to do it for us this episode. We're going to go
episode number 80.
Episode number 80. Yes,
I know.
We're inching toward that 100.
We get cake at 100, right?
Is that what we're going to do?
I think we
should
have cake.
Just passed our 2-year mark.
Yeah.
Wow. For regular episodes. Uh-huh. We did our first episode was on YouTube. It was kind of a standalone thing, but yeah,
right.
we just passed our 2-year mark doing this on a regular basis.
That's kind of cool.
It is. It doesn't feel like it's been that long.
No, it really doesn't. But it's, I mean.
In some days.
Well, yes.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, it has. And that fun will continue next week on another episode of H2O. Thanks very much for listening, folks. Jason Hunt here, Timothy Harvey.
Thank you much.
Get you feeling better?
I will.
And we will be back next week.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is SciFiForMe Radio.